You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Today we're going to provide you with something that you all aren't used to with respect to congressional investigations, and that's evidence. Committee Republicans have spoken with multiple whistleblowers from numerous schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received documents of previously unknown transactions. What we found is a business plan aimed at targets around the world based on influence peddling, including with people closely tied to foreign governments like China and Russia. We also found plans made to the United States where the Biden family swindled investors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, all with Joe Biden's participation and knowledge. In 2019, shortly after announcing his campaign for president, Joe Biden told the American people he had nothing to do with and never had conversations with his family about their business dealings. That was a lie.
It is a lie. And the drop-off in sound there, probably, I'm going to say it's just a technical glitch. But again, I don't know who's controlling the volume. I don't know if some Democrat said, shut it down, lower it. Oh, I can get in conspiracy theories with the rest of them, but I'd prefer not to. That is Congressman Comer of the House Oversight Committee. And he's talking about what we're going to start doing and what we're going to start seeing now that the Republicans control the House. Thank God. The Georgia Senate race, of course, comes up December 6th. At the best, it's still going to be a tie. The House control gives Republicans a chance to truly have the check and balance system our Congress and our Constitution devised. So, Kentucky Congressman Comer, Republican, making those statements, and so it begins. So it begins. The questions about all the links between Joe Biden as vice president and now President Joe Biden and his son Hunter and foreign business deals, which we were told in the beginning, when that laptop from hell surfaced, big tech companies had already listened to the FBI as they whispered, you could expect this to happen, but it's really just a propaganda campaign. You should ignore it. And they did. In fact, NPR, which is paid in part by your tax money, said, well, we don't print fiction, and that's all fiction. They didn't know. They just took the word of the FBI. Now, normally I'm one to say, yeah, I'm going to support the FBI and what they do, but it's the leadership of the FBI that was in the clutches of the Washington quicksand swamp doing their bidding from the very beginning. So I wouldn't expect anything serious out of them. Now, that is, of course, Comer, Congressman Comer, going to do what he does with his committee, the House Oversight. You also have Congressman Jordan, who's in charge of the Judiciary Committee. He will have his own hearings focusing on whistleblowers. And don't forget, in the Senate, we got Senator Grassley and Johnson. They want answers, too. We are going to have a lot of questions answered, or folks are going to be perjured. I don't think they want to go to jail for Joe Biden or Hunter Biden, do you? I think they're going to come forward and say, yeah, this happened. And there will be more. There'll be more as you begin to unravel this twine. You're going to find it leads here and leads there. And pretty soon, Joe Biden is going to be wrapped up in all of that, and including his lies. But by then, he might officially declare himself that he's got Alzheimer's. Pelosi is out as House Speaker. Boom, it's done. Still a member of Congress representing San Francisco, though, in her closing remarks today on the floor, she almost brought a tear to my eye. I mean, just a tear of joy, not pain. Money to Ukraine, by the way. Where is it all going? There's still no official explanation from Biden. Going to be joined later by Dakota Wood, retired Lieutenant Marine Colonel, about are we ready for a war with Taiwan? I mean, with China on behalf of Taiwan and Iran now having some hypersonic missiles? We need to know about that. Plus, 12 Senate Republicans voted for respect for life. We told you yesterday that's a lie, and they bought it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality. Lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My friends, no matter what title you all, my colleagues, have bestowed upon me, speaker, leader, whip, there is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution. And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
So there she is, Nancy Pelosi, today saying, I'm not going to seek re-election for the Democrat leadership, but of course I'm going to remain a member of Congress. We'll see for how long. Obviously, she has legitimate concerns about her husband and the injuries he suffered. But she has now set the stage to mark the end for a long presiding California Democrat. She has served, of course, as various positions, as you heard, the minority leader at one time when they weren't in control, and then also the majority leader of the House at one time. So Ocasio-Cortez says, I'm going to quote her now, member of the squad, Pelosi's decision marks a sea change in American politics. That's how she sees it. I mean, she sees this is going to be a major change. And then the question is, to what direction? Well, of course, if you believe AOC and all the folks who basically serve at the altar of climate change, the seas are going to rise. We're going to be flooded. If they had their way, we will be, and you'll be held responsible for it. AOC told CNN and NNN that the decision for Pelosi not to run marks a sea change in American politics it will have profound ramifications. And, of course, as you know, the relationship between AOC and Pelosi has not always been on the best. Remember when Pelosi was asked about, well, what you're doing, is it going to sit well with the squad, AOC and them? And she said, well, they had their little group and they do their little thing. In other words, they just little things they do over there. But also in the reference of making his spot, that making her point, she decided weigh in on what she'd like to see, who she would like to see replace Pelosi. She said, I think in the direct aftermath of such a profound moment, it's a bit of whiplash right now trying to dive into the weeds of that. But I do think you know that her broader point of having a deeper generational shift is a well-taken one. So here comes a possible replacement. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn. He issued a statement paving the way for a new trio to lead the House Democrats following Pelosi. He said, Pelosi left an indelible mark on Congress and the country, and I look forward to her continued service and doing whatever I can to assist our new generation of Democrat leaders, which he did not list himself, but he said Hakeem Jeffries, Kathleen Clark, Pete Aguilar. And the three of them were seen sitting next to Clyburn and the House Majority Leader Kenny Stoyer, when Pelosi is making her announcement. Jeffries has been already pitching himself to members with Congress, along with Clark and Aguilar, as 1, 2, and 3 for leading the leadership in the Democrats. It's very likely Congressman Hakeem Jeffries will run unopposed as a Democrat leader. It's not certain, but very possible. Democrat from New York has always been kind of seen to be the front runner because AOC's not ready yet. But it will be a change. She's right. It's going to be a profound change in how it's handled. Now, again, the key point here is, do I really care who heads up the Democrats? Not necessarily. The gavel is the key point. Who's going to be able to control the gavel? Keep in mind, though, that Pelosi has repeatedly denounced MAGA Republicans, denounced anyone who supported Donald Trump. That would include independents and Democrats alike. Has made it clear by her January 6th commission that she blames everybody on the right as being responsible for what happened January 6th. So her conciliatory type statements there at the end about it's time for us to kind of bring everything together. What is she doing? The same kind of thing that we heard from the COVID people? Well, give us amnesty. We were doing the best we could under what we understood, and we didn't know. We didn't know. We told you repeatedly, don't do that, and you ignored us. In fact, you locked us up. You told us to stay home. You told us we'd be losing our jobs. You told us that we were a threat to society. But now let's find a peaceful way out of this. And Pelosi made a point to quote Abraham Lincoln.
Let us consider the words of, again, President Lincoln, spoken during one of America's darkest hours. He called upon us to come together, to swell the chorus of the Union, when once again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. That, again, is the task at hand. A new day is dawning on the horizon, and I look forward, always forward, to the unfolding story of our nation, a story of light and love, of patriotism and progress, of many becoming one, and always an unfinished mission to make the dreams of today the reality of tomorrow.
Pretty hard to argue those words. They came from Abraham Lincoln. But I can't help but remember how she was so vicious against those who dared to violate COVID, how she blamed Trump for demonizing yellow people because he said it came from Wuhan, which it did. And then she was showing up in Chinatown, going around, look, I'm here, we're having dinner and lunch right here in Chinatown. You should come see us. It's all nice and fair and good here. And then when the draconian lockdowns hit in California and other places as well, she made a point to say you must abide by the rules and regulations because you're putting people at risk. How dare you do anything that would violate that? And then I remember her going to a closed hairdresser shop that they open up just for her, and her on the security camera going in to get her hair coiffed. I wish I had that problem of coiffing my hair. Maybe I over-coiffed it, but bottom line is, here's Nancy Pelosi. She went in there. She got her hair all done, walked around in a little bib robe and protected the rest of her clothing while she's getting her hair washed and then re-dyed or whatever the heck they did with it. While everybody else is told, suck it up. Just live with it. Wash your hair in your basement, in your bathroom. Do something like that. And, of course, don't forget Governor Gavin Newsom holding a special dinner at the Laundry in Napa Valley, the exclusive restaurant, and holding that meeting unmasked with members of health lobby groups that were all also unmasked and in a small contained area. The very rules and regulations they set for you, they ignored. And Pelosi is one of those who did it on a continuous basis. As did Dr. Fake. First of all, you're not need to worry about the virus. You wouldn't call it Wuhan. You don't need to worry about it. It's not going to be a deal. Okay, well, maybe we should have a mask. And then later, a mask won't do any good anyway. Forget it. Oh, then maybe we do need the mask. Oh, then we need the vaccine. And Trump, fast-track vaccine. And Trump got the new president, incoming president, Biden, and VP Harris getting their shots before they took the oath of office. And then we were told, if you get the jab, you don't need the mask. Change again. You get the jab, you're still going to have to wear the mask. And then it became apparent, and has since been admitted, they didn't really study the efficacy as to if it would really prevent the spread of COVID. That was the whole point of a vaccine. You're going to prevent the spread. And the drug makers had to make admission we didn't really test for that part of it. And then, of course, you have to keep in mind that they were locking down kids, diminishing their learning capability, all in their belief that this is best for you. I told you yesterday, not that you have an interest in going, I would assume, to Disney World in Shanghai right now, but it's closed, probably going to be closed for several months to come. You know why? Because they have zero tolerance in China for COVID. Because they know how bad it is, how it's ravaged our community, our nation, the world. So they found one person at the Shanghai Disney World that had COVID, and they shut everything down. And they're still out there. They still want to find a way to lock you up and prevent you from doing what you prefer to do. It was the perfect storm for the last election, that's for sure. But again, with all of that aside, and Nancy Pelosi is hanging up her gavel and probably going to try to be just a sweet old grandma again, because at some point she'll step out. But she offered a thank you in listing everyone that's important to her. Nancy Pelosi.
We want to know the origins of where COVID began.
So my fault. That was a question. Let's do that first. That's my fault. We mentioned about all the things that, because she's no longer going to be there, we're going to need some answers to. Here's Congressman Kevin McCarthy now, who is going to serve as a House Majority Leader. He said, now we're going to get some real answers and questions.
We want to know the origins of where COVID began so we never have that happen again. Who funded it? How did it get there? We want to know what happened in the last 60 days of Afghanistan. Why didn't the president listen to the military, creating 13 new Gold Star families that never should have taken place? We've got a number of ways. Why did the DOJ go after parents and call them terrorists? How can we have a Secretary of Homeland calling that this border is secure when you have more than 2.7 individuals illegally coming across? Are the number of people on the terrorist watch list coming into America? What do they have planned? Who are they talking to? And why are they here? That's just a start.
That's just a start. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to let Nancy Pelosi offer her final salutation, basically, to all of those she wants to thank for everything that they've accomplished. It does not include MAGA, conservative, independent, or even Democrat candidates who do not support Pelosi and the leftist agenda. But I'm going to let her have her say anyway. And then I want to know, where's all this Ukraine money been going? Stand by, please. Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So my next guest, we've been on numerous times before, and I did not get to wish him a Semper Fi and hoorah for our Marine Corps birthday, but I am now retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Welcome aboard again, sir.
Well, Semper Fi, thanks so much for that. Yeah, it was a great holiday celebration, 247 years young, and looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think we are. At least I feel good anyway. So, listen, I've got a lot of things I want to run by you, but before I go to them, I was just discussing in the previous segment, and part of it is raised even by a CNN political analyst, mm-hmm. Joe Rogan, saying it's important to keep us in the support for Ukraine, but the Biden administration, quote, hasn't done enough, to be honest, to keep Congress in the loop. They won't tell them exactly what the money's going for. There's not a clear strategy to end this thing. We're talking about anywhere from $54 billion already. Now the president wants another $38 billion. What are you hearing on the numbers, and where the hell is it going?
I think there is accountability for the military support. I mean, cash given to anybody is a bad idea. We saw what happened in Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere. So I think most of the controversy on blank checks, you've heard that term, accountability, transparency, has to do with any kind of a rebuild effort. You know, we're providing money to the Ukrainian government to help, you know, pay salaries, humanitarian assistance, support to refugees, you know, 9 million of them or something like that there in Poland. But when it comes to the military stuff, you know, the munitions, the equipment, radar systems, there is a military office in Germany, manned by Americans, that really does track this stuff. And there is a team in country in Ukraine that looks at data plates and works with the Ukrainian military to make sure that if we've given them a weapon system, that we kind of know where that's at.
Now, does that money also include money we gave to other countries to shore up their defense or for them to add to the Ukraine effort?
A very limited amount. It would be a very small percentage. You know, the biggest amounts are just the money associated with us giving them equipment out of our own inventory. That's part of it. Other monies, like if we're going to help get artillery rounds out of South Korea, we would purchase those rounds and then have them shipped to Ukraine. So I think the military expenditures have really good oversight, both at Congress and at the military commands involved in this, at the Pentagon and in Germany and in Poland working this issue. But it is a concern where we have billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars going for potentially reconstruction or government salaries. You know, somebody's helping to keep the lights on in Kyiv in terms of government functions and those sorts of things. So I think it's correct and it's a right thing to demand accountability for those monies. But I think that it's not as big a concern at all on the military-specific side, if that makes sense.
Have I heard, I know I saw the numbers, but I don't know if they're accurate, and I don't recall them, anything in the sense that we're spending more on Ukraine than Russia spends on its own military?
You know, in raw numbers, perhaps so. But what we're doing is there's also a thing out there that we spend more on support to Ukraine than we do on the Department of Homeland Security or something like that.
Yeah,
those are kind of irrelevant comparisons. I mean, let's say Russia would spend its annual budget on its military to build up and maintain proficiency. When you get into war and you're expending munitions at, you know, tens of thousands of rounds a day, equipment's getting blown up, you're using fuel with a full-on spigot because you're moving forces around a theater, those expenses are dramatically higher than what any country would spend on an annual basis to maintain a peacetime military, right? The money we would spend on the southern border would pale in comparison to feeding the monstrous appetite of an actual war between two countries. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
okay.
You can use the raw numbers to make comparisons, but they really aren't relevant to the issue.
Okay. Now, are we also using this as an opportunity to experiment with new weapons that have not been tested in battle yet?
So every war features that, absolutely. We saw that in the U.S. Civil War, where Europeans came over. Everybody was involved in the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. New stuff was tried on the battlefields of World War I and World War II. So you can do things in an experimental sense, in a laboratory, and do some little test and evaluation at home. But real war, it is an absolute great environment in a really macabre sense, right?
Yeah.
To test new things. So we would be using things that are not made available in public. You know, maybe it's space-based sensors or unmanned systems or cyber capabilities, getting real-world testing of multiple launch rocket systems, you know, with maybe a new seeker or a guidance system on it. You wouldn't want to reveal that to the enemy, you know, that might warn them to also be tracking these sorts of things. But there's no better opportunity to try things in this environment that we might need to use against Iran or China or someplace
now,
else.
Now, since you brought up Iran, word coming out the other day that the aerospace commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard says they now have a missile that's hypersonic, in other words, flying five times the speed of sound. You think that's accurate or more blustering?
No. Huh? It's a bunch of bluster. I mean, you know, any ballistic missile is going to hit hypersonic velocities, just the nature of physics and, you know, the thrust of a rocket engine and those sorts of things. But when you're talking about hypervelocity platforms or weapons that can maneuver, that is a challenge for advanced countries like China and the United States and Russia to master. To think that Iran is able to do that, and I'm not shortchanging them. I mean, right. They're a near nuclear power, largest ballistic missile inventory in the Middle East, and all those sorts of things. But hypervelocity platforms, you know, the body itself, and then being able to target that onto some kind of an enemy force or installation, that's a whole different ballgame. So I think it's a bunch of bluster, and they're just lying to the public for a domestic audience, probably.
You're listening to Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired heritage expert on U.S. military. There is also a piece out by Brent Sadler regarding mm-hmm. that the U.S. Navy has to grow to confront China, that we're not near ready, and at this point we could not do anything with China if it involved naval action.
Well, we've got 292 ships in the U.S. Navy, 100 or maybe available on a given day, a given basis every day. 60 of those would be in the Western Pacific. So 60 U.S. Navy ships that are being worked twice as hard as they would have been in the Cold War when we had twice the number of ships, right? Same number of deployed. So our 60 ships going up against a PLA Navy of 360. That's a 6-to-1 disadvantage. And China could then use shore-based maritime patrol aircraft, shore-based anti-ship cruise missiles. They have their maritime militia, Chinese Coast Guard, and a massive shipping and commercial fleet that you could easily weaponize with various weapon systems. So we still have an advantage in submarines, but in terms of fleet navies, we're dramatically overmatched just in numbers. They're operating within a couple hundred miles of the coastline. Our folks are operating 6,000 or 7,000 miles from home and access to nearby deep water ports in Japan or Guam or someplace
kind
else.
Kind of over the horizon. Yeah, kind of over the horizon. Yeah. I have to admit, and it may just go back to my days of nostalgia, and I know it's not as capable, but the old battleships and those 24-pound guns firing, you know, compared to the littoral combat ship, it just doesn't seem like it'd match up. But I know the technology has advanced well beyond that.
No, but it's a great point, though. The LCS, the littoral combat ship, has barely any weaponry on it at all. It was made to be kind of a scouting platform and to get from one place to another very quickly. But it can't take a hit, and it doesn't mount much offensive firepower at all. So if you're a maritime patrol aircraft carrying anti-ship cruise missiles, or you're a frigate or a coastal, like a corvette or something like that, and you actually have guns and some vertical launch cells, an LCS just doesn't pose much of a hazard at all. And of that 292 ships, there's something like 21 of those are LCS. So again, when you look at the numbers, you have to account for quality and capability, and that's where we're really falling short.
I want to thank you, as always, sir, for your time. We always enjoy. I know the audience is enjoying always the details you bring to the conversation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You did. We'll do it again. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired. Coming up, support for the Marriage Act, not what you think it is.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming when we're on the air live at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine Larry Connors USA, and you'll join us in studio. In fact, I'm looking right now, and I see many of you have already, and I, Obviously, by looking at other numbers, I see many of you end up doing it later in the day, which is understandable because not everybody can watch at this point. But the numbers that come in later in the day are pretty amazing, and I continue to thank you. If you want, you can subscribe. We'll send it to you. You don't have to worry about searching for it. No cost, and we do not share your information. Same thing on the podcast, the audio of the program. You will get a shortened version of the program, only with my sponsors included. I make sure my sponsors are included because it's a bonus to them, and I thank them, and you should thank them as well for supporting and keeping us on the air. You never know in this business when somebody decides to pull the plug. So I want to thank them for being there for us, and I thank you for supporting them, letting them know you support them. We talked yesterday about the Respect for Marriage Act and how it's really a misnomer. I mean, you have respect for marriage? Well, yeah, of course, but now the Senate wanting to codify same-sex marriage rights, which they did, it would erase the Defense of Marriage Act, the 1996 law that preserved man-woman marriage at state and federal levels. So here's the way it came down after we discussed it yesterday. Lawmakers voted for the measure 62-37. And in fact, there are 12 Republicans who voted for this bill. Now keep in mind, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida said, this bill does nothing that we don't already have. It's a non-issue. It's a waste of time. Others are saying the same thing, but others are also saying this is a way to use this bill against those that we don't like. That's right. And force it upon people just because you have a view of marriage that they don't. And among those 12 Republicans, let me read this list to you. Senators Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, who's retiring, won't be around to answer any questions, as are some of the others here. Richard Burr, Republican, North Carolina. Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia. Susan Collins of Maine. Joni Ernst of Iowa. Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming. Lisa Murkowski of Arkansas. Rob Portman of Ohio. Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah. Dan Sullivan of Arkansas, Tom Tillis, North Carolina, Todd Young of Indiana. Those are all Republicans who decided to go ahead and help out with this. This is basically repealing the Clinton-era Defense of Marriage Act and requiring the federal government to recognize any marriage that was valid in the place where it was entered into. It does not go, according to a report from Slate, as far as the Obergefell bill. In that decision, the Supreme Court directed every state to license same-sex marriages, that is, to issue a marriage certificate to same-sex couples. Now, I've told you before, I have some consternation here. I believe everyone should be able to marry whom they want to, and they should have equal protection and rights and so forth. But this goes beyond that. We already had that. This goes to the extent that if you are a baker or a photographer and you do not want to partake in this marriage because of your religious beliefs, you damn well better you're going to end up in front of a court. That's the issue. It is very common in this nation lately, especially with the woke crowd, which I repeat again, the woke should be put to sleep. But they continue to be awake and trying to shake everyone else awake and say that what we decide is what should be. And we're all about being inclusive when they're not being interested in being inclusive. Not at all. They still want to parade drag queens in front of elementary kids. They still want to have check marks from 1 to 54. What gender are you? They still want you to believe that they know better than you and claim at the same time they're following the science. We we cannot allow this to continue to go down this way. And I was really praying, and I mean this in all seriousness, I was praying that we were going to have a true red wave, red tsunami. Not so much for the candidates coming in. Yes, that's important. But it would deliver a mandate to the woke crowd. We're done. We're done with this. We're moving past it. But we're not done. They're going to continue to push and push and push. And as I pointed out, they're like a submarine underwater, sliding by dangerous territory undetected. But they have you and their target ready to launch. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk more about the investigations that are now going to come forward now that the House is controlled by Republicans, and it's damn well time. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.